stop somewhere inside 5 feet. Frank couldn't be certain how close the ball was to the hole because the green was slightly elevated and the flagstick was near the back of the green. He didn't need to see it, though, to know it was close. The shot had felt perfect coming off his club. Slugger had already hit his second shot into the right-hand bunker, which was why Frank had been willing to give him a chance to concede his victory and only to have to buy Frank a dozen Dunkin' Donuts on the way to dropping him at school. During the school year, this was their weekday morning routine. Slugger would pick Frank up, and they'd arrive at the club by 5:30, hit balls for 30 minutes, and then jump in a cart and play a quick 9 holes. They would play for a dozen Dunkin' Donuts. Each press, starting another mini-match if one player fell 2 holes behind, was worth another 6. Frank usually won and always shared his winnings with kids in his first class of the day, which was the only way his skill at the sport had ever earned him much admiration among his classmates. If Frank's putt for birdie went in, he'd shoot 34, 2 under par. Slugger, who had been the golf pro at Perryton CC for 5 years, and Frank's swim coach for almost as long, was still a good player at the age of 32. But when Frank was on his game, Slugger couldn't beat him. Frank had already closed out the dozen donuts match, and Slugger had pressed for 6 more on the 18th tee. Frank's offer to let him off the hook wasn't so much about showing mercy as about making Slugger give up with the ball in the air, which Frank knew Slugger would never even think about. It was Frank's way of taunting. You didn't get to taunt while playing golf too often. Frank had only been 147 yards from the flag when he hit his second shot. He'd brought his putter with him so he could walk up to the green. It was only a little after 7, but the air was already warm and the bright blue sky was cloudless. Frank and Slugger both wore golf caps and sunglasses to protect themselves from the already blazing morning sun. When they teed off on number 10 at 6 o'clock, they alternated nines each morning, today was a back nine day, the sun was up, but there was still a hint of coolness in the air. Frank loved this time of day and loved being on the golf course at such an early hour. Most of the time, he and Slugger had the place to themselves, could still see some dew on the grass, and as they drove off the 10th tee, could see most of the back nine. The trees overhanging the fairways, the pristine bunkers, and the waterhouses were fun to look at from a distance, as long as you kept your golf ball away from them. Sunrise and sunset were great times to be on a golf course. That was especially true for Frank Baker, whose full name was John Franklin Baker, after the early 20th century baseball Hall of Fame player, John Franklin Home Run Baker. Thomas Baker was a baseball junkie with a passion for the history of the sport. He had once dreamed that his only kid would be a baseball star and had called him Home Run when he was little, but now he was completely immersed in Frank's golf career. Frank was not quite 17, wrapping up his junior year at Storrs Academy. He was being recruited by every college in the country that had a big-time golf team. He had no idea where he wanted to go to school. In fact, at that moment, he had no idea if he was going to go to college. As he walked up the slope to the green, he saw 2 men. One his father, the other someone he didn't recognize, but who instantly raised Frank's concern meter. Who shows up at a golf course at 7:15 in the morning wearing a suit? "Nice shot, Frank," his father shouted. "3 feet, Slugger. That good?" "Hell no," Slugger answered, digging his feet into the bunker. "It's more like 4 feet, and he has to putt it. Donuts are at stake here." The man in the suit laughed, a bit too hard, Frank thought, at Slugger's little joke. Slugger's bunker shot rolled to within 10 feet. A nice shot, but not good enough. Now that both players were on the green, Frank pulled the flagstick from the cup and set it off to the side out of the line of play. "Frank, put that out if Slugger insists, and then come on over. I want you to meet someone," his dad said, looking at Slugger, who nodded even though he was away, indicating it was fine for the kid to putt first. Frank took his time. For one thing, the putt was 4 feet, no sure thing. For another, he was in no rush to meet his dad's friend. But he did knock the putt in. Then he and Slugger, as they always did, took their caps off to shake hands. Slugger was a stickler for proper golf etiquette, whether on an empty golf course early in the morning or in the heat of a big